At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, guiding you through the maze of your money. Let's get talking. Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and this week we're talking about savings buckets, or sinking funds as you sometimes hear them called, but it's surely something you've heard me mention a lot about on this podcast over the years. They're a great savings tool that I think everybody needs to be using. Sinking funds are the reason that my wife and I were able to go to Hawaii and have such a great time spending guilt-free. These can be a great tool to unlock some more value-based and enjoyable spending that is truly possible with some good financial habits. They can turn annual expenses into a regular savings amount that makes it a whole lot easier to stomach those bigger transactions when they do come out. Sinking funds also help a ton when it comes to gift giving, and especially Christmas. Since Christmas comes the same time every year, start to use today's tactics so you can be ready for it and you can save for Christmas throughout the year. But if you want to get started with setting up a budget that allows you to build up some of these savings buckets, check out the link in my show notes for My Budget Coach. My Budget Coach is a tool that allows you to connect your budget directly with a coach. And you can select me when you sign up for your free trial because I'd love to help you get started with a great budget today. But today's money buddy is Terry Nicholas. Terry works with high-achieving women considering the transition out of the corporate world because they're overworked, overwhelmed, and uninspired. She created Wealth Coaching to empower women to create a life and career they love by providing one-on-one coaching. She learns to help them identify the causes of burnout and make confident decisions. She believes in helping people become comfortable talking about money and improving their money mindset. I'm really excited for today's interview. I know it's going to be a good one, so make sure you stick around and subscribe for the upcoming episodes as well, because I got some great things on the horizon. But today's money talking points are: how can a simple savings bucket improve your money mindset? 2, what savings targets can you begin to use a bucket for? And 3, what money mindset did you inherit from your family? Now that's a spicy question, so let's make sure we stick around to the end for that one, because that's going to be a fun one to talk about with your friends and family. With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Terry Nicholas, and we're talking about some fun things around savings, sinking funds, and some great tips and tricks to get your money working for you. Terry, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody?
Sure, I'd love to. My name is Terry Nicholas. I am the owner and founder of The Wealth Coach for Women, located in the greater Boston, Massachusetts area.
Fantastic. And I'm excited for today's episode. The title of it's just simply Savings Buckets, because this is such an effective tool that really anybody can use. My wife and I, we love to use them. About 6 months ago, we went to Hawaii and we saved for it for years. It's because of things like this with these sinking funds or savings buckets, whatever people want to call them. Things like this are what enables those big trips where you can spend guilt-free. But let's open up the conversation with some definitions for people so they can know exactly what we're talking about. But to you, Terry, what is a sinking fund or a savings bucket?
Well, I don't generally use the term sinking fund, but I do use savings buckets all the time. I like to advise people to set up separate bank accounts for separate things. So I'm a visual person. And often when I'm working with a client, I will draw a bucket and just think of putting money into it. The reason I call it a savings bucket, and you might have run into this too, Skylar, is often when I'm explaining how to save money, I'll get pushback like, oh, that's just a drop in the bucket. So those drops add up. And that's why I started using the term savings bucket.
Yeah, they definitely do add up. And I like the term using savings bucket because I think that does help people realize what it's actually for. When you use the term sinking fund, they're like, sinking what? What are we sinking? I know the Dave Ramsey crowd tends to use sinking fund. That tends to be the term that Dave Ramsey will use. Both are similar in terms of what we're talking about today. I do like the idea a lot more of calling it a savings bucket. I've been trying to push myself to call it more that to help define it as that. What are some simple ways people can start with one? Like I mentioned Hawaii, you mentioned those little drops in the bucket. How can people get this going?
I'm a real believer in automation, because when we set something on autopilot, it's like set it and forget it. And before you know it, you have all this money. So if you're a payroll W-2 employee, if you work for a company where you are on payroll, you can actually ask the payroll department to open up a sleeve for different accounts. When my older son was getting ready for college, and it was about 2 years before his first year, I knew there was no way I was going to have enough money. So I came up with a budget, a specific amount of money that I felt comfortable allocating towards his education. I started a savings fund and had it automatically transferred from my payroll right into the fund. When he got ready to go to school, the money that I expected to be there was there.
That's fantastic. I like that simple approach of using separate accounts. That's something that in my episode last week, I talked about the power of direct deposit. I think so many people underestimate that that is such a powerful tool to allocate your paycheck in different places and help it go to where you actually want it to. And you mentioned the idea of using separate bank accounts. That's something that I've been keying in on more over the past couple months. But what do you think the benefit is of having your savings in a completely separate place?
Well, it's psychological, Skylar, because if we just cobble all of our money into one place, it's almost like looking at the junk drawer in your kitchen. Because everything lands in one place and it makes it difficult mentally to sort out how much goes to what. So I'll use your example of going to Hawaii. I'm just going to throw a number out there. This might not be the number, but we'll go with this. Let's say you and the person you wanted to travel with had a dream of going to Hawaii. And Hawaii's not cheap. And depending on where you live, like I live on the East Coast, so for me to go to Hawaii, it's a long flight, so I know that would be a lot of money. I would expect it to cost me about $10,000. If I were to go stay for about a week, do some really special things, I would want to have a budget of $10,000. Now, I'm not in a position where I can just pull $10,000 out of my pocket, so I would have to plan for that. If all I did was put all of my money in one place, when I look at that account, it would be very easy for me to forget how much of that is allocated towards Hawaii. Or, you know, maybe I'm saving for a new car, or I want to remodel a room in my house, or whatever it might be. When everything is all in one place, it's difficult for most people's brains to compartmentalize where everything is going. If you have one bank account, you have your checking account, and that's what I call the in and out money. That's for your basic monthly bills. Then you have a savings account for your emergency fund. And I recommend between 3 and 6 months worth of your basic living expenses tucked away in an emergency fund that does not get touched unless you have an emergency.
Yeah, that's the key.
Right, that's the key. The third account might be for any long-term expenses, or if you have a few things coming up, you might want more than one of those accounts. So if you're saving, let's say 2 years from now, Skylar, you think you're going to need a new car, you might have a savings account for that. If you want to plan another vacation, you might want to have a separate savings account for that. If you are looking to buy a new home, upgrade the home that you're in, then you might want a separate account for that. And labeling them as such, that way you know when you get to a point where you want to plan that trip, do I have enough money? It's very easy to see because everything is allocated.
Yeah, I love that idea because my wife and I use a spreadsheet that I've built over years. Maybe you're not a huge spreadsheet nerd like me and you don't want to spend time in Excel or Google Sheets building out this complicated series of formulas and whatnot. Many of these online banks will let you open up kind of like sub accounts that are kind of earmarking money. Mm-hmm. I know Ally Bank is one that has their, they literally call them buckets. And you can name it and you can put money into that bucket and you can set a threshold for, as to where money comes out of first. So you can have your spending bucket, you can have that vacation bucket all the way at the bottom so that you know that you're going through all the other buckets before you get to that one if the worst were to happen. That's kind of just set yourself up with some well earmarked funds because I like what you said that if it's not earmarked, it just becomes this big mess of where's my money? What am I going to take from? Like you said, the junk drawer. Where's the tape dispenser? I don't know. It's in here somewhere. And then you end up pulling out all these other things. When you think of that in terms of money, you're looking for that $300 you have for auto maintenance, but you end up pulling out $150 of vacation and $150 of this. And then suddenly you pulled out more than that $300 because you didn't realize it was allocated for things. And it can get really complicated quickly if it's all in one place. So I love the idea. I'm glad we spoke to that for a second there.
It's worked very well for me personally, but it's also worked very well for my clients. Although when I initially suggest it, they often think it sounds confusing. I said, if you set it up automatically, it's not confusing. It isn't like with the savings account. You don't have to balance your savings account every month like you might balance your checkbook. Yeah. It just sits there. It's just accumulating. When you have everything separated out and you can look at your progress, if you know that you want to go on that trip to Hawaii 12 months from now and you want to have $10,000 available, then that would mean you want to save a ballpark $850 a month over the next 12 months or $1,000 a month over the next 10. It makes it very easy for you to break down exactly what you need to do so that you have how much by when.
You just go to your HR department and you say, I want to change my direct deposit, and you set that specific amount to go to that specific account, and then you don't even have to worry about it. When you think it's confusing, it's really not. It's a couple simple steps of automation and a little bit of math that you can do very quickly. So I love that. You can use sinking funds and savings buckets for very large expenses, but I also think they can be useful for regular expenses. My wife and I use them day to day as we let our budget float over month to month to build up this little bit of savings. What are some smaller expenses that you could use a savings bucket for?
If you and your significant other have date night once a week and you want to budget a certain amount of money for that, you can have a savings bucket just for things like that. Maybe not this big vacation, but this is your lifestyle money. This is what you want in your life to make you feel connected, happy, whatever it might be, knowing that you have a certain amount of money available for that. It's like your little slush fund. Give you a lot of confidence.
I like to do that date night once a week or once a month or something like that. But maybe something comes up that you weren't able to do it for a couple times in a row. Now you have a little bit of a savings there that's automatically accumulated that you don't have to worry about, oh, where's this money going to come from? No, it's just going to come from that fund that you've already been building up. A place that I like to use this a lot is personal goods, things like shampoos, body wash, hand soaps, things like that that you only buy once every couple months. Mm-hmm. But we just put a little bit of money in there each month so that when all of those things suddenly need bought, it's not draining our bank account because we do have some small savings over time. One of the things that I tend to caution people against, my wife and I use sinking funds for everything, and I caution people against using it for everything. What is your kind of thoughts on having it set up so that all of your different budget categories are some sort of savings bucket?
I think that can get overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's almost, what's that expression? If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there.
Oh, yeah. It's like all the money's just being saved. Yeah.
Everything's broken down to such a finite detail that it can be overwhelming. I think it's important for people to have a good understanding of their monthly needs. I break things down monthly because most of us, our bills are monthly. Even for things that you don't pay monthly, say it's insurance or something like that, it's still a dollar figure. So divide it by 12 and have that money available in your checking account, because sooner or later that bill's going to come due. If you see everything on a monthly basis, even though you don't physically pay things monthly, that segues out any of these other extra expenses that are things that you either expect to happen, like an emergency or a planned vacation.
Yeah, you led perfectly into my next question of using it for some of those normal expenses. Like you mentioned car insurance. I love using it for car insurance because you do get a discount for paying that 6 or 12 month window. You tend to get a little bit of a discount on payment fees because they're going to charge you a fee to pay it monthly on a card. So how do people use it for those kind of bigger expenses that don't happen every month?
Well, if they have a lot of them, and they would like to have one savings account for those annual big expenses, that could be something that works well for people. Or they just keep extra money in their checking account knowing that bill is coming. Whichever one works for you, as long as the money's available. One of the things that I find kind of the flip side of all this, Skylar, depending on the personality or the mindset of a person around money, if you or your partner have a negative mindset with money, and if you have things broken down so fine that you can't figure it out, you tend to have that mindset that you never have enough money. Because when you're looking at 10 different buckets with small amounts of money in it, that can feel discouraging. If you had three buckets and they had more money in each one, and you understood one is for my emergency fund, one is for the new car next year, one is for that vacation. When it comes to those expenses and you have the money reserved for it, Now you feel empowered and you know you can afford things because you've allocated the money for it.
Honestly, this is eye-opening for as far as how my wife and I handle money, because like I said, we have this big spreadsheet that keeps track of every category and it does a great job. But like you said, having so many different categories can make you feel like you don't have enough money. And that's something that we commonly will go through. It's like, oh, our food budget, our fast food budget only has $30 in it. But we look at these other ones that have like 80 or 150. It's like, we're never going to spend the money in this other random category. So let's use some of it for this. And I think that's an okay way to look at it. But I like your perspective of have just some bigger ones that are getting you directionally in the right frame of mind so that you know you're saving for this vacation or you're saving for those annual or every 6 month expenses. There's a wider array of things that you can use that money for. And also real simply towards the 6 month or annual expenses, just take what that's going to be, divide it by six or divide it by 12. And there you have your savings amount. So you can go to your, HR and say, put this amount of money into this account every month. And then that annual charge comes up and you just transfer it over to your spending account. And it's really simple when you do that.
It can ease a lot of anxiety around money because you're prepared. The thing that gives most people angst is not feeling prepared or having a high level of uncertainty. That can really send you over the rails. A lot of that also depends on how you were raised. If you were raised in a household where people fought over money, and if you happen to be with somebody who is extremely detailed, you can feel like you're right back into your childhood home very quickly. The most important thing for people is to live within their means, understand what that means, but don't get so over the top over every little penny that you make yourself crazy.
Yeah, I like this idea that we're heading towards here of that you don't need to be this perfect penny tracking, exact down to the penny kind of budgeter, and that you just need to set up some frameworks and systems for yourself. How can frameworks be beneficial for people? And maybe even outside of savings, but some sort of, like you said, live below your means. How can those sort of frameworks help people out?
I think that that level of discipline helps you in all walks of life. Living below your means that you're not living paycheck to paycheck. It means that you have money going into savings. And it's not the dollar amount that matters, although that may sound kind of weird. It's the habit of saving money, of even if it's $10 a week or $100, whatever it might be, it's the fact that you are disciplining yourself not to live paycheck to paycheck or worse, which is having a lot of debt. So for people that struggle with money, that's, and if they constantly are telling themselves, well, I live paycheck to paycheck or I'm bad with money, even developing one habit, like we're talking about, even if they only set up one, I'll say two buckets, because I think you always need an emergency bucket and then maybe a special accounts bucket or a special events bucket. So if all you did was set up those two savings accounts and you funded them on a regular basis, meaning like through your paycheck, or if you're self-employed, manually doing that, you're going to be telling yourself a different story, and that's going to shift your mindset. So every time you make one of those deposits, you tell yourself, whether you say it out loud or just in your head, I am so happy and grateful now that I have a surplus of money to save. You never use the negative, like I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, because your brain is going to absorb paycheck to paycheck. So you put it in a positive.
Yeah, it's going to carry that weight that it has.
Exactly. So you have to reframe it into a positive statement, a true statement. And you just say, I'm so happy and grateful now that I have a surplus of money to save.
What does it mean to you to have that surplus of money? Like, just speaking from personal experience so people can kind of hear getting to that point, what does it mean to you to have that surplus behind you?
Well, I've always had a surplus even when I didn't have a lot of money. It's always been very important to me. I was raised that my grandmother, my father's mother, was the kind of person who could squeeze a quarter till George Washington cried, but she was the most generous person you'd ever want to meet. She just knew she had a gift for handling money, and this was somebody who was an immigrant right before the Great Depression, you know, raised her family, was a seamstress, you know, very as blue collar as they get, but just knew how to make things work. And I learned that from her. And I think if something's really important to you and you make it a priority, You can always make it work. And for me, having that ability and always having something in the bank, even if it was a few hundred dollars, just gave me a sense of security that if I had an emergency, my world wasn't going to blow up.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I'm realizing as we're going in this conversation, we're starting to talk a lot more about mindset and our mentality around money. I think it's fantastic for people to get to a healthy place with, but I think the thing that I hope everyone listening realizes, we've mentioned the actual math behind these savings buckets maybe once or twice, of just a divide it by six or divide it by 12 and there's your amount. But the math is honestly the least important piece of all of this, because that's the simple part. And I always tell people, if money was just math, we have supercomputers that would have it all calculated out for us, and it would be really simple to manage. But there's so much personal in personal finance, and you're talking about mindset. You mentioned something that I think is very key for people to realize in their life. And you mentioned how maybe your parents or grandparents, how their money mindset impacted you, being able to squeeze a quarter till George Washington cries. I love that statement. Maybe they didn't have a good positive example of maybe saving money or making money last or using being frugal. How do you think people can overcome that? And like you said, just get started simply with one or two savings buckets. But how do people overcome those negative mindsets that are maybe ingrained from birth?
If you're single and you're basically on your own to figure all this out, get help. Mm. Because it really doesn't take a whole lot of help. I mean, I've worked with people as, you know, doing some of the work that I do with the women. In 90 days, I can turn them around.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole long time.
It really doesn't take a whole long time. And it's mostly commitment and desire. If not being good with money bothers you, then get help. And I'm not talking about like you're going to be in a therapist office or anything like that. It's really just learning some simple skills and having somebody that holds you accountable. Well, you could change your habits in a very short time. And it's really all about the habits. It's how you talk to yourself. That's your mindset. It's your behavior and what you really believe about money. And if your beliefs and your behavior is getting in your way of your personal happiness or feeling that sense of security because you think, you know, oh, if I get a flat tire, I'm going to be bankrupt. That's a horrible way to live. No, it really is. It's a horrible way to live. So what do you have to do to change that? Many times for people, if they don't have those skills, if they weren't raised in an environment where they learned those things, then getting help is the answer. Doing things the same way and expecting a different result is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So work with a professional that can get you from where you are to where you want to be. And a good one should be able to do it in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I love that. Work with somebody. I like to call my community the money buddies, similar to like a gym buddy or an accountability partner. I'm trying to build this community of people who can chat about money together. Like you said, just honestly asking your friend that maybe you've observed they're in a better financial situation or they are more willing to spend money because they have it under control, things like that. Just asking a friend can just clue you into some insights of simple things to change. But also, like you said, there are professionals, there's financial coaches. Over the last 5 or so years, the financial coaching space has come a very long way, that there's a lot more people out there that are ready to help at like the drop of a hat. And most of them, if not everyone, offer some sort of a free consultation or a free money talk where you can just sit down and bounce ideas off each other. And I've found so many times that anybody in this financial coaching space or kind of the entry level getting help with money, they're so willing to help. There's so many podcasts out there that you can submit questions to. You can submit them to this show. You can ask Terry. I'm sure she'd love to help. There's so many people out there that are willing to help with money before you have to get to sort of the financial planner or the tax professional state. Because I think when people think money professional, they think like the full-on expensive financial retirement plan that they don't have the money for. But there's some awesome people out there that are going to help you at a very cheap rate that can get you going again. And one thing I tell people often is these budgeting apps or a financial coach, if you put money into these, you're going to get money back because these people want to help you. They want to help you succeed. They want to help you figure out where you can find that $100 an hour, whatever they charge, $50 or whatever. They're going to help you find that in your budget so that you kind of automatically, it pays for itself. That's one thing that I think is awesome about this sort of space and helping people out. How have you seen your clients? You mentioned a 90-day transformation is totally possible. How have you seen people's mindsets change over that time frame, or how do they become more free with their money?
Well, one of the ways that they become more free is understanding the savings process. That really helps them out quite a bit. Just even setting them up with, you know, talk to your HR person and get mm-hmm. those savings buckets opened up. If they are self-employed, having them understand like what kind of revenue do they need to bring in and the difference between all of the revenue coming in the door and your paycheck.
One of the things that I have noticed as I've coached people or helped people out, you mentioned they can go to their HR and make these simple changes, but one of the things I've noticed is that most of these people don't know what questions to ask. They mm-hmm. don't know where to get started with these sort of things. They don't know how their 401k works, or they don't even know the question to ask to figure that out. How have you seen working with people, them just asking questions and learning together, how have you seen people become empowered to take
action? That's a great question, Skylar. What I find is when that person doesn't understand what to ask, and that's, I see that a lot because sometimes people will say something to me like, if I knew what to do, I'd just be doing it.
And they just don't know.
They just don't know. They don't know what they don't know. So I help them by giving them a checklist. Give them a list of questions to ask. These are the things you need to know. If you set up that savings account, this is how you're going to go about doing it. This is why you're doing it. If you have you signed up for your 401k, why not? And so just helping them work through all of that is part of what I do for them as a coach.
Yeah, that's fantastic because most people, they'll be going to their HR department and they're like, I was told to ask you about my 401k. And your HR department isn't entirely sure because they're just the people who handle the forms. There may be a planner or something on the back end of the program that can help you out. But if you're working with a coach, they can also help direct you, like you said, that simple series of checklists, because most people don't know how crucial it is to get your employer match out of your 401k.
Exactly.
And they don't even know what it is. They don't even know how to set that up. And
or even
just
if
being
they
able
have
to,
one.
Yeah, that's true too. Like they may not even know because they didn't care to join the meeting when they were enrolled in their 401k. So there's so many little questions out there that if people can become empowered through talking with a money buddy or talking with a coach to go out and ask, there's some big, easy steps like low-hanging fruit that you can get that'll change your financial life. I just looked at my 401k recently and half of the balance is growth and employer match. And mm-hmm. so like I'm telling people, I'm like, how are you missing out on this potential doubling through the employer match and growth? Like I've only put half of the money that's in there. That's wild to me. But that's the power of compound interest and the power of that employer match that is so helpful for people.
Exactly. And also one of the things I've seen, doesn't happen very often, but I have seen it a few times, where a person was taught by maybe a parent or an uncle or somebody mm-hmm. that said, oh, if you have an opportunity for a 401k, jump in immediately, put 10% of your paycheck in there and don't even give it another thought. Well, that's mm-hmm. fine. But then when they go to buy a house, they don't have enough money. Or they mm-hmm. go to do other things in their life, they don't have enough money because they're taking all of their surplus and it's going into something that they're not going to use for another 40 years. Mm-hmm. So when you're working with the professional, that professional should help you understand you're not doing anything wrong, but in order for you to enjoy your lifestyle, you could be doing things better.
Because there's definitely a balance.
There is definitely a balance because what happens is if all of your free cash is tied up in your 401k and month mm-hmm. after month you feel like you don't have any free cash, that can get very depressing. And it can also lead to you thinking you don't have enough money. You do, you just need to restructure it.
Yeah. And one of the other things too that I've seen happen to people now and then is you got to make sure your 401k is actually invested and not just sitting in cash. That's just a quick reminder for people to check. If you're not sure, reach out to either one of us and we can help you kind of figure out those sort of things with your 401k. But I like what you said there. We brought it back around to don't set yourself up to have a negative mindset with money by putting too much in savings or making yourself think you don't have enough money when you really do, because maybe just dropping that 401k percentage down to 8 is all you need and then you're going to feel more comfortable. So there's never a silver bullet when it comes to personal finance. It's not put everything into your 401k. Sure, you could do that, but your life's going to be pretty grim for the time being until you can use that money. But also the silver bullet isn't spend everything and enjoy your life right now. There's a balance in it. It's personal and everyone's situation is unique.
That's right. And I think that the earlier that you learn that sense of balance and mm-hmm. not having to have instant gratification on everything, the better off you're going to be. I attribute it to the microwave mentality. It's like when I was growing up, you know, back in the olden days when dinosaurs were still roaming the earth, if I wanted a baked potato, it had to go in the oven and it took an hour. Today, you can get one in 3 minutes in the microwave. So getting away from that push a button, the microwave's going to, you know, provide it in a couple of minutes as opposed to a long-term strategy like cooking with an oven can really go a long way as far as your mindset around money. You can put things off. You can save towards something. I call it inspire to aspire. Inspire yourself by using these disciplines so that you can aspire to enjoy something at a later date. But having that balance that there are some things that you want to be able to enjoy right now because you are working for it.
Yeah. There's so many things in our lives that are trying to push us towards doing things faster, quicker. We're trying to be overproductive. We're trying to do it as fast as possible. And this isn't the first episode recently that microwave effect has been mentioned, where suddenly everything becomes so quick. And then you think of their short form content that's trying to grab our attention so quick on Instagram Reels or TikTok, that's trying to snag our attention in 15 to 60 seconds. And we're trying to do everything so fast. So take a second, slow down, look at your money situation, realize you have time. Like you mentioned, you can flip it in 90 days, which may seem fast, but also that could seem like an eternity to someone who's kind of buried in debt. But be willing to give yourself some time because everything's going to be okay. The one thing is that everyone will say, oh, I wish I would have invested sooner. But really, the best time to invest is today. So that if you can start building a plan and start figuring out when to invest, get it going today. Get your plan going today. Make sure it's simple, smooth, and take your time. I like that approach.
Well, it's, you know, it's like the old adage of when do you need a shade tree?
Yeah.
Today. You know, when's the best time to plant it? 10 years ago. Well, if you didn't do that, when's the second best time?
Yeah,
right now.
It's today.
Mm-hmm. It's today. So think about, don't get hung up on the mistakes that you made. The past is the past. You can course correct if you make your mind up to do it today. And if you need assistance, don't think of it as an expense. If you have a good person holding you accountable, that's an investment in your future. It's not an expense because that person can help you go from where you are to where you want to be in a very short period of time. Shorten that learning curve. If you think about it, if you have somebody helping you and they get you into a really good place in 90 days, where you've been struggling with this for many, many years, what are the odds of you being able to get yourself into that exact same place on your own? It's probably not
You'd already
happen,
be there
right?
if you could.
You'd already be there. If you knew how to do it, you'd already be there. And since you're not there and the clock is ticking, it's an investment in yourself to get yourself into that good place as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I love that. That's fantastic. Get help because that's what all these podcasts, all these different articles, news posts, things like that, that people write, all the different blogs and websites, they're to share their learning experiences. I love to come on here and share the things that my wife and I have done wrong with our money because that's going to help people learn to avoid it. And there's so many people out there that are willing to help. I love leaving it on that note there that there's people out there willing to help you stay accountable and turn your money situation around. But as we're coming to a close here, Terry, where can people connect with you or learn more about you?
Well, thank you, Skylar. The best place is my website, and I did give you the links in the show notes.
Yes.
I do offer a free 30-minute clarity strategy call. So for anyone that has questions about money or, you know, what, you know, is there hope for them or it could be anything. You know, I work with a lot of women in particular who are in the corporate space and they're considering leaving that world and going off on their own and they don't know where to begin. So if you have a sense of burnout or just questions around that, how do I launch a business, even if you want it to be a side hustle, which has been very beneficial. I know we didn't get into side hustles at all, but that has really helped a lot of people when it comes to getting their finances in a good place. So any conversations like that, I can certainly help you. I have my online business card, and I also have a free gift, which is my success kit that I provide to podcast listeners of the show. So
awesome.
Many ways to find me.
Fantastic. And of course, links will be in the show notes. So if you didn't catch something there, head over to the show notes and click on those links. But Terry, one final question that I love to ask everybody, something similar. But what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to saving money?
Well, I've always been a good saver. So I don't know if there's anything that I wish I knew sooner, except that you can always save more. Even though you don't think you can, I think there's always a way to save. Even like another $5 can make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, with compound interest, any sort of growth, savings, and things like that, a little dollar helps. There's an awesome book that I love to plug called The Automatic Millionaire. It talks about how those small little increments, you're never going to notice them, but they're going to make a huge deal when it comes to your retirement savings or anything like that. But Terry, this has been a fantastic episode. Thank you so much for talking about savings buckets. But ultimately, we moved into money mindset, being more positive with our money, learning from how we grew up. It was a fantastic conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Skylar, for the invite. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Terry for that fantastic interview. I know it was a good one, and I hope you enjoyed it. But let's start today with the money talking points. The first one is, how can a simple savings bucket improve your money mindset? Well, this is a great one. It can help you reframe your view on how you handle money. You can begin to be grateful for having extra instead of feeling like you live paycheck to paycheck. Or you can even stop telling yourself you're bad with money, because you do begin to get that small safety net. You begin to get that small amount of savings that can provide so much comfort, and it'll begin to reduce your financial anxiety, financial fear, financial stress, because the first $100 or the first $1,000 feels amazing when you're starting out that small savings bucket. But also, it can improve your spending mindset. Maybe you're too much in the savings mindset and you need to spend a little bit more money. It will help you know that it's okay to spend money in bigger chunks, knowing that you saved for it and knowing that you've had that money earmarked for that specific expense. You're less stressed when you need to buy things in bigger chunks and when a need actually does arise because the money is set aside. For me, this is something that happens all the time with personal products like shampoos or body wash. They're things that don't get purchased often, and they can add up quickly when they all come due on the same grocery order. So we save up every single month into our personal goods category, and it makes it a whole lot easier to spend that bigger chunk of money on those things that we do need when that time does come that they need to be purchased, which seems to be all at once, of course. But if we're saving every single month for those, makes it a whole lot easier to spend that money. And you can feel the stress physically go away when you know you have the money to purchase something, whether you need it or not. If you're trying to purchase something that is a want type of expense, you feel comfortable purchasing that because you've been saving for a while and you have that sinking fund or savings bucket there and ready to use. Now, if something does come up that's a need, like car maintenance or car registration or Christmas, for example, you feel more comfortable spending the money because you know you've been saving for a while, and it gives you that sense of delayed gratification where you're like, yes, I can spend the money. I can give people the good Christmas that I want to give them, or I can register the car right away instead of waiting till I get pulled over and say, whoops, I forgot to register it last month. Those sort of things become a whole lot easier because you have the money there and ready to spend. But that does it for this first money talking point. Next, let's talk about the second one. What savings targets can you begin to use a bucket for? I've mentioned more than a few so far in this episode, but there's of course the obvious ones that you can use a savings bucket for, like trips, vacations, holidays, gifts, and so on. Consider the regular non-monthly expenses though. This is a great place that I like to tell everybody to consider using a savings bucket for. Things like your phone bill. Like I have said before, Mint Mobile. I really enjoy using Mint Mobile, but one of the things that catches people off guard is that you have to pay for everything in advance. And if you're not saving for that, that can be a considerable expense, a few hundred dollars or something, that comes due all at once. So if you're saving for that as a monthly subscription to yourself, just like a normal monthly subscription, you're now going to get the benefits of paying up front, paying in those bigger bills that are cheaper because there's less processing fees and that sort of stuff on it. And same thing goes with insurance premiums. If you pay every 6 months, you get a considerable discount in terms of payment processing fees and things like that. So when you just simply set up that amount as a monthly subscription to yourself or a monthly savings subscription to a separate account that you have set up, it makes it a whole lot easier to pay those non-monthly regular expenses. Vehicle registration is another great one, or annual subscriptions. How many times do you see an annual subscription that's $100 a year or $120 if you pay it monthly? So obviously it's cheaper to pay for it annually, but you could just set aside that amount of money you need every single month versus having to pay it monthly and give them that extra money. So I hope you're seeing the picture that I'm painting here with a savings bucket, that you can use it for these non-regular monthly expenses, these things that don't come out monthly but do come up often. And really, this just continues on to anything you don't pay monthly. You can turn it into a monthly savings subscription to yourself for anything. And I do like the idea of putting it into a separate account, because that makes it so that the money is set aside, especially if something does come up that's maybe a borderline emergency or something that you need to spend a little bit of money for. If it's not earmarked and set aside in a different account, you're going to very easily use your savings buckets, and then you're going to be frustrated when you don't have that money to pay for Christmas or that annual subscription. And then you can begin to spiral into debt and find yourself in a tricky situation that you don't want to be in. And I tend to use sinking funds a little bit too much. You heard Terry and I talk about using them for everything. My wife and I use them for everything. Every single category in our budget floats over and builds its own savings bucket. And it's crazy. Don't do it. I don't recommend it. I like it because our spreadsheet is set up to do this automatically, but it's a complicated spreadsheet. So you don't need to bother yourself by trying to make every single category become a savings bucket. It's just not worth it. But consider creating a savings account that you name non-monthly expenses. And that's where you put that savings subscription to yourself into every single month. But what else do you think you could use it for? Send me an email or leave a comment, and I'd love to hear any other ideas you might have about how you can use a savings bucket for any sort of savings target. Let's go ahead and move on here to the final money talking point. What money mindset did you inherit from your family? And this question can be a real crazy one. It can be a question that leads to some great and deep conversation, or it can lead to some maybe financial trauma that you didn't know you had. So be careful with this question, but this is a great question to discuss with your friends as you can begin to share ideas of ways that maybe you grew up with money or ways that you now handle money because of the ways you saw your parents handle money. Be ready for this money talking point to uncover some things that you never quite realized with money. It's going to be a really fun conversation to have. So if you have a long drive or something coming up, ask this question. But what mindset do I think I inherited? Well, I found myself many years later wanting to make sure that I save more money so I have a stable financial foundation beneath me. I don't want to have to worry about money in a basic sense. I do worry about money a lot, and I'm much more involved with it than any one person has to be, but that's my own thing. But I don't concern myself with the day-to-day or paycheck-to-paycheck aspects of money. I'm concerned with the long-term planning things, the fun tax things that you get to do when you're investing money. And I think my wife and I have both inherited this mindset of wanting to be sure and stable with our finances. And this has led us to have a good safety net beneath us and helped us reach some hard financial goals, but it also leads us to be maybe a little bit unwilling to take big risks with our money. We want to make sure that stable foundation is beneath us, but we're maybe not so willing to take these big investing risks that we maybe could use, or maybe would be good for us, or maybe we're not willing to spend money as much as we should in order to enjoy it. But what did you inherit? Did you see your family spend money like crazy, so now you save a lot? Did you see your parents save too much and now you spend a lot? Did you not see any money habits as a kid, so you have no clue where to go with money? There are a lot of different ways that people can handle money and a lot of different mindsets that families can pass on. So let me know what you took away from your family. Talk about this question with a spouse or a friend, and then send me an email. I want to hear what you had to talk about. So I really am interested in where this question can take some people. So how did this one impact you? Have this discussion and let me know. But that does it for today's money talking points. Let's wrap this episode up, and I hope you were able to learn how important it is just getting a little bit of savings under your belt. You'll hear people say you need to live below your means and set all these high savings goals, but if you're struggling getting that going, a little bit is going to be huge in terms of momentum. It can really help you just get started with some basic savings under your belt. It'll give you a lot of confidence and motivation, to be honest. I know for my wife and I, it's really empowering to see us hit some of these smaller savings goals. It can be fun to see some of our friends hit their savings goals, which is a huge reason to find yourself a money buddy. Whether it's me or somebody else in the community or a close friend or family member, finding a money buddy can be huge towards helping you stay accountable towards your savings goals. And remember, as you continue on after today's episode, make sure you consider how to use automation. I've been talking about a lot of these things, and especially direct deposit, as a major underutilized tool that most people don't take advantage of in their personal finances. So see if there's some way that you can integrate automation into your finances, especially with these savings buckets, so that you don't have to think about it so much. Again, thank you to Terry Nicholas for coming on this episode and helping us all out with her savings bucket wisdom. Thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You could also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions you might have. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly with your financial coach. I'd love to work with you over there and help you out with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. and our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze with our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and dias featuring up to 32 grams of protein.